Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Yay, here we are.
It's the Headbangers matinee today, Judy.
I know, I feel like Ricky Rackman.
And it's an all Brooklyn cast of characters we have. You and I, the Jersey contingent, versus these Brooklyn metalheads.
Go Brooklyn.
Jersey punks versus Brooklyn metalheads. Let's go.
They'll win. Just melody alone will kick our asses.
Oh, man. This is a terrifying crew.
So we've got Melody Henry, owner of Lucky 13 Bar and Park Slope.
Yay! Yeah.
Dean Rispler. Head poobah at Drugfront Records.
Boo.
Yeah.
And a serious Sheepshead Bay headbanger.
I like poobah.
Dude, you're like the most metal guy I know. You're like the most earnest heavy metal fan.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? You don't get out much.
I was going to say, I just met him, but I'm not getting that far.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And the Mike McPadden all the way from Chicago to promote his new book. His new book, If You Like Metallica.
Yeah.
And Mike, of course, is also a star pornographer, the editor of MrSkin.com.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
I didn't know that.
And this is his encore appearance on the Mike and Judy Show.
Yes, a two-timer.
It's awesome.
Glad you came back. It's amazing.
All right, so punks or metalheads?
Suck up to that, Mike, kid.
I know.
Punks or metalheads? Who's smarter?
I would have to say, well, let's say the crossover kids.
Yeah.
Like the ones who bought the Voivod and Corrosion of Conformity records.
I think it depends on the type of punk or the type of metal.
See, here's the thing. I don't really like heavy metal music. I'm just going to put this right out there. I love Motorhead. I love Deep Purple. I love Black Sabbath. But I mean, that's sort of like towards the hard rock end of things. There's,
yes.
You know, like the new wave of British heavy metal. I don't like Judas Priest. I can't stand them. I can't stand Iron Maiden.
Breaking the law.
Iron Maiden.
Breaking the law.
That's an okay song. Iron Maiden to me is just a pop band. I never really understood it
pop
at all.
Band.
Like a pop band. It's like the Michael Jackson of metal.
The records with Paul Di'Anno were like metal punk.
You know what?
They were so good.
I have to say that Iron Maiden I loved when I was a teenager, and like now I'm amazed that, you know, I have all these kids that come to Lucky 13 and they're like, I look, check their IDs, and they're born in 1991. That's 21 now, by the way. My boyfriend was born in 89, so
okay,
I'm an animal.
That's not even old enough to be my Facebook.
No, I know, it's terrible. But they love old school Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still relevant to the kids that are like just turning of age now. So that's amazing to me, you know? I don't know.
What do we care about the kids?
I care about the kids.
Well, you're banging a kid.
I am banging a kid. That's true.
You care about one.
People my age can't keep up with me, so.
Well, let me say this about punk.
Say this.
And how I got into metal. Because I started out as a punk. There is no good punk rock today. It stopped. It died.
It's Green Day.
Yeah. I mean, it died.
That's pretty much true.
There is nothing. It never evolved into anything. Like I was sick of punk by the mid-80s, and then like the Butthole Surfers happened. I was like, oh, this I love. But yes. But what did they do? They brought in elements of psychedelia and heavy metal.
Yeah, and then they lost me, kind of.
And then metal kind of said, okay, we'll just... Ian Christie, in his book Sound of the Beast, says... Metal swallowed punk and moved forward. And I mean, have to concur.
I think that's true.
There are still punk bands, but...
They're nothing, awful. Yeah, they don't bring anything new to it. They don't expand the parameters of it.
No.
But maybe Dean has something to say about that because he has some on his label.
Well, I think the best new punk bands now... maybe don't expand the parameters, but there's some really good ones. I mean, especially from... There's a bunch of bands from Jersey that are great. Nightbirds are amazing. Nuclear Santa Claus is great. These are great
I
bands.
I like the name.
These are like,
you made me snort.
Well, you know, to me, punk rock is like pizza and the blues. You know, there are only very few ingredients, but it's really hard to execute properly. You know, and that's the whole thing. And so it's the singer, not the song, in so many ways. I mean, there's so many Ramones-style bands that just don't do it because they think it's easier. They think just getting up there and blasting some bar chords and wearing the Maserati right around their knees is going to do it, and it doesn't. You still have to swing like crazy.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's why I don't really like those heavy metal bands. It's all rock and no roll to me. Metallica is, you know, I guess it's amusing if you're 14 years old and have a skateboard, but if, you know, I love AC/DC because they swing like motherfuckers. They're a rock and roll band. They're really still a blues-based rock and roll band.
Right.
You know, which I don't hear in Metallica. I mean, I love the energy of Slayer, you know, and Anthrax, but it really doesn't talk to me. It's just... It doesn't swing.
I don't know. Early Metallica was groundbreaking, though. I mean, like, nobody was doing that. Like, when I first heard Kill 'Em All, I was kind of in shock. Like, what is that? You know, it was just so different from what was going on at the time, you know?
You guys been out to a metal concert lately?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I go to St. Vitus on a regular basis to see bands.
Me as well, actually.
So I
how do you not know each other?
I don't know. It's super weird. I'm going tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Maybe let's hang out.
Tomorrow.
Heavy
is,
metal love connection?
Primordial is tomorrow.
They're both taken, but...
I'm not taken.
Is there a metal theme?
I'm babysitting my boyfriend.
Is there a metal venue
like
in Brooklyn?
You're like two of her boyfriends.
Oh, St. Vitus. So yeah, St.
Like,
Vitus.
Like Lemoore back in
sort of.
The day?
Yeah. It's much smaller.
It's smaller and cleaner. But,
right. And it's owned by the guys who... Artie Shepard used to be in... Artie Shepard and Justin Skurdy, they're in Primitive Weapons now.
Right.
But they used to be in a bunch of hardcore bands. Artie Shepard used to be in Mind Over Matter, I believe. And
it's like they're speaking Mandarin.
Era Type 11. Really good guys. Really good people who are on the place.
I love St. Vitus. Yeah, I would love to own a place that size, but the reason they're in the middle of bum... Can I say
fuck? You can say fuck.
The reason they're in the middle of bumfuck nowhere is because in order to get a space that big in Brooklyn these days, you literally have to go to... The armpit of Brooklyn, and I'm in Park Slope, and it's just not possible to get.
No way.
So who comes out to these gigs?
We do.
I got to tell you, almost every show, even on a Monday or Tuesday night, if it's almost always at least three quarters packed, if not totally packed. I mean, metal. The great thing about metalheads is that they're the most loyal fans in the world, hands down. Like punk rock, when you talk about punk rock. And how like it didn't expand the parameters. In some ways, you're right, because a lot of punk rockers, friends of mine who were punk rockers, are now boring dads and moms who I used to go to CBGB's. I used to do that. You know what? What happened? But all my metalhead friends who are in their 40s or even older still go to shows all the time.
But when I go see an old punk band play, like I saw Stiff Little Fingers last year.
Is it sad? Is it like
it's
sad?
Depressing. And I'm looking around going, man, these people look old. Then I'm like, oh, wait. Probably if I were to look into the
also,
mirror.
Also, I think all those old punk rockers are now like playing country music and blues, which is the last refuge of a punk rocker.
Yeah, maybe. So. Maybe.
You know, it's like we're growing up now or some goddamn thing.
Oh, boo.
You know? But, well, the metal thing, it's true, there's always been this amazing community of metalheads. I mean, like you said, very loyal and there's an orthodoxy a little bit, even though there's so many different genres of metal, which you talk about too.
Yeah.
But, you know, within the basic core, I mean, people do come out. I mean, it's very self-supporting scene.
Absolutely.
More so than punk rock in a lot of ways, and especially out of New York City.
Yes.
I mean, metal is just something that doesn't really exist in Manhattan the way it does in the outer boroughs and the rest of America.
True.
Right.
So Mike, what caused you to write this book? What gave you the impulse to write about Metallica?
Mike Edison called me. I mean, literally, that's it. I had pitched another heavy metal book that will be out next spring called Heavy Metal Movies.
Oh, that's cool.
It's here. I'm like 20 years I was waiting for a book deal, and I got two at once.
Yeah, that kind of it's great.
And literally, like within 10 days after getting the deal from Ian Christie at Bazillion Points Publishing, Mike Edison called me and said, "We have a Metallica title. Would you be interested?" And I was very interested because I thought I am a fan of Metallica, and I'm
even now.
No, okay. But no. You know what? I take that back. Let me take that back. I really did love that last record. I love Death Magnetic.
Really?
I thought it was great. Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
Well, I gotta say, you kicked the shit out of that book, man. You just nailed it. It's such a good book.
Thank you.
And you know, and what they're in. I mean, you're a smart, intelligent, funny guy who gets it. I mean, heavy metal is famous for its complete lack of irony.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, again, metal has expanded to the point where that's no longer completely true, and that could be annoying. Like there was, you know, the band Mastodon, who are great. Sometimes attract really annoying fans. You would get like a big like Pitchfork indie rock crossover there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's the Spinal Tap phenomenon. I understood, you know.
There's two.
You know, David Lee Roth went to see it and laughed, and then Van Halen said, "Hey, how come they're making fun of me?" You know, he didn't get it, you know?
Right, yeah.
He just didn't get it.
And Ozzy thought it was about him. He was like, "This, how'd they get my life on screen? How'd they do it?"
But you know, that's the genius of Spinal Tap. It's probably the only movie that told the truth about anything.
And it's the thing with Spinal Tap, it's every band.
Oh, my God.
If from the Beatles to Gays in the Military, which was my most recent band, it is the story of every band. True. You sit there and identify with it.
Now, how did you... Okay, you got the reading the other night, which Mike and I were lucky enough to be part of at Duff's. You had, what was it, the keyboard player from Ozzy's tour?
Charlie Roth.
First tour with Zakk Wylde. I actually saw that tour. Zakk would spit in the air and catch it, which was quite a trick. But how did you hook up with him?
That was through Jamie Nelson, the publicist of If You Like Metallica.
Yeah, wow. Charlie's a great guy. You know, Charlie's awesome. Been like on a million records.
Yeah.
He does soundtracks for Adult Swim and stuff.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's played with like everyone.
And he just, I mean, he smashed it too. Everybody I thought was just great the other night. So
yeah, was especially good. Me and Mike.
Oh, I mean, no, but you guys were. I mean, Edison came with, you know, musical accompaniment.
I know. Well, show up.
Yeah, I hired a teenager to play Electric Funeral. What else? I can't believe no one else thought of that. It's like, what the fuck?
Anyway, so where can we buy your book?
Wherever books are sold, which means Amazon.
wherever books are sold.
But it's good. So what are some of the things? The book is called If You Like Metallica, and the subtitles, then here are 200 other bands, CDs,
right.
Movies, and other oddities that you will love. So
right.
If I were to like Metallica, and notice I'm already separating myself from metalheads right. by using the subjunctive. If I were to like Metallica, what else would I like? Where is this book going to take me?
You know, we go from like Bob Dylan to Gwar. I mean, it's, you know.
Okay, explain that. Why Bob Dylan?
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing with Metallica, and this is how they were groundbreaking, and how they really did tear down the wall between punk and metal and industrial. They just said, this is what we like, and they had no labels whatsoever. So, you know, and then they do so many interviews, and they're constantly plugging other people, which was great.
Oh, that's good.
Always giving credit, always, like, naming obscure things. And, you know, they got into, like, James Hetfield got really heavy into Nick Cave for a long time, so... And they cover Nick Cave song.
I think they turned a lot of people on to like Killing Joke.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's the big one. That was the shock to me.
Probably sold a lot of Velvet Underground records with that last piece of shit.
And they also reignited the career of the Misfits.
Oh my God. Well, I was working in, you know, I was working at a record store, you know, when they were just doing that stuff, Metallica, and the Misfits bootleg 7-inches because they weren't available and people were just like pressing these like fake Plan 9 records. And we're selling for like $1.50 a pop. I mean, $150 for, you know, the double 7-inch bullet single. I mean, it was crazy money. And for Misfits Walk Among Us, which was not available, was out of print
right
at the time, selling vinyl copies for bootleg copies, pirates, for $50 a pop.
Yeah,
plus they helped sell maybe 12, maybe 15 more Budgie records.
No, Budgie's a band I could get with.
I love Budgie.
You know, there's this weird phenomenon.
I'm one of those 12 or 15
dudes. There's this real phenomenon of bands that sound kind of or sort of like Black Sabbath, but didn't make it. Leaf Hound being my very favorite. You know, sort of like, well, they sort of took the worst elements of Zeppelin, The Faces, and Sabbath, and somehow managed to get a really bad name and somehow still
failed.
That
record's good. That record's good.
I like Leaf Hound record. Yeah, I like that record too. But I like it for ironic reasons, I confess, you know. You know, I mean, this is like irony 20 years ago before it was hip.
Mm-hmm. Before it was a way of life.
We're like pretty much in Williamsburg, so we have to be ironic.
Well, you know who my favorite, Judy, you know my favorite ironist was our mutual friend Dave Reaganuth, Dave and Surgeon from Reaganuth.
It was just his birthday the other day.
Yeah, I thought it was today. It's today. I think it's his birthday, no?
Oh, really?
Say happy birthday.
Well,
he's dead.
Dave's spun off this mortal coil in his
But but you are right. Because Dave used to wear hippie clothes to hardcore shows.
Right.
So so me and Dave, we go to this costume contest at Halloween that's being judged by Black Sabbath. Okay, the Black Sabbath is actually the judges, but this is the Born Again tour, so it's like their B team. It's Ian Gillan is singing, right? And it's Geezer and Tony are there, and Bev Bevan is playing drums on this tour, right?
From ELO.
From Electric Light Orchestra. So we get there, we're wearing these great, crazy costumes. I was wearing my high school graduation gown, which I had saved just for this reason, right? And I had this giant upside-down crucifix and reflected, like, you know, bicycle safety tape on the front. And, you know, the record Pebbles, that, you know, the garage punk record?
Yeah.
The cover where the guy's got the skin cap on with knitting needles sticking out. So I recreated that, and I just look like, you know, like the worst elements of, like, Phyllis Diller on acid and something from Sun Ra's orchestra. And they loved us, because everybody else was all goth, and we were just fucking weird. And Dave had a Bible for them to sign. Someone had given us Bibles that day in Washington Square Park, right? Some evangelists. So we took the Bibles to get them signed. And so Dave brings the Bible up, and Ian Gillan signs it. And they love us, because we're so freaky. And that's cool, and we love Ian, because we're big Deep Purple fans. And then Tony signs it. It's cool. Geezer signs it. And Dave gets to Bev Bevan. He's like, "You're Bev Bevan, right?" He goes, "Yeah, man." He goes, "You were in Electric Light Orchestra, right?" And Bev's like so excited, because someone was paying attention to who he was. He goes, "Yeah, man, Electric Light Orchestra." Dave says, "Well, you can't sign my book. You're too soft." We're going to take a break. We're going to play something from Drug Front Records. Dean, what are we going to hear?
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Candy Snatchers Huffer.
It's Candy Snatchers Huffer? All right. Joe, spin that. We're going to take a break. Be right back. It's the Mike and Judy Show. Mike Edison and Judy McGuire here on the Mike and Judy Show, streaming live on the Heritage Radio Network from Roberto's in Bushwick. Got some pizza going on there. Punks love pizza.
Yes.
Who doesn't love pizza?
Yeah, I think it's pretty inter-musical denominational.
I can't eat pizza anymore.
That's what happened, Dean?
I'm both lactose intolerant and gluten-free.
That's metal.
Oh, so, man. No,
you can get gluten-free vegan pizza.
That just sounds depressing.
It's not good. Man.
After growing up on Outer Boroughs Pizza, New York City Outer Boroughs Pizza, nothing is
everything
good.
Sucks.
Everything else. Everything
it's not Pomona Gardens anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Dean, what I wanted to ask you, you're running Drug Front Records. That was the Candy Snatchers, a storied and legendary band.
Yes.
But really what I want to know is, like, why would you want to start a record label now?
Well,
what the fuck is wrong with
that? Well, I was thinking of, you know, there's... I think of suicide on a regular basis, and I thought, well, what's the slowest form of suicide I could do? And I said, I'll start a record label and destroy my life really slowly. And that's what's been going on. It's a completely failing record label. Bands
so slow and steady.
Do any of them really succeed that much anymore now that everyone just steals music?
Well, some bands succeed if they do stuff, but none of these bands do anything.
Well, they're punk rock.
None of these bands are hilarious. The bands on my label are like, Yeah, we're so excited. We got to get the record out. They're rushing me to get the record out. The record comes out, and they play like two shows, and then they're like, yeah we're really tired. We're going to take a break.
Well, do they have like really great day jobs or something?
No.
They're punk rock. They're freaking punk rock.
Well, you've got some great bands. These are good records you're putting out.
I'm not going to deny that some of the records are pretty good. They are really good. I mean, some of the records are really good. I mean,
you need to hire a publicist, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I hired a publicist. Everything that I did in the last 12 months. Like, I finally said, fuck it. I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to hire an expensive publicist and do all this stuff. It all backfired. Everything backfired. Every single thing I paid money for backfired.
Maybe you should commit suicide.
Exactly, yeah. So that's
or just start burning your money instead of giving it to others.
Listen, that's happening right now. It's on fire right now.
I think I smell smoke.
Reminds me of the story of the guy, like some politician who hired a publicist to keep him out of the paper, and the publicist said, it'd be great, $10,000 a month. The guy says, but how will I know if you're doing my job? If you're doing your job.
That's pretty good. That's basically what happened to me is they didn't tell me they were going to do that, but they did that. I mean, the biggest problem really is a combination of the bands being extremely lazy and me being also lazy too. I mean, there's a lot more stuff I could do, but I end up going out.
If you've never been in Lucky 13 and you live in Fort Greene and you haven't been there to even promote your bands or your record label, you're pretty lazy.
You're also playing with our good friend Handsome Dick Manitoba in the Manitoba band.
Yes, I play in Manitoba.
You guys play all the time, right? I mean, it seems like you're getting pretty steadily.
Well, we're going out of town a little bit, and we're playing September 22nd at the studio at Webster Hall with two Drug Front bands, the Bamboo Kids and Mess Around. Should be fun. And then we go away to Spain for 2 weeks in October.
So that's
very
exciting.
Nice. And Spain loves Manitoba, and Manitoba loves Spain.
And to bring it all back, back to metal, the one of the most exciting things about playing with Manitoba, besides those guys being really cool and really fun, the guitar player, as we all know, is Ross the Boss from Manowar. And Manowar, when I was 12 years old, in 1982, I bought Battle Hymns by Manowar, and it changed my life. I mean, that record changed my life.
Did you start wearing a loincloth?
I'm wearing one right now. And those lovely people listening on the radio can't see it right now.
That's right. When you're tired of dating boys and want to date a man, this is Dean Risper.
Yeah. In a loincloth. Step it up.
So Melody, let's talk to Melody about her bar for a second. You're a metal bar in Park Slope.
Yes.
Like, known for strollers.
Yes.
And annoying parents.
I have strippers on a pole. I have an amazing heavy metal jukebox. I have DJs sometimes. I have burlesque shows, and then we have metal. I have all kinds of craziness going on there, and sometimes people come in and look shocked and turn around and walk right back out. They don't realize what they just walked into.
Were you part of the Park Slope Kids in Bars brouhaha?
No. Kids don't come in my bar because I tend to play porn on the screens and horror movies and things that...
Well, then they're lame kids if they're not going into your bar.
Exactly.
Well, how old are we talking about? Are we talking about kids that I bang, or are we talking about kids that are... I mean, there's an age difference there. So.
Right, like little kids.
We're talking about little kids.
In strollers.
In strollers. Because Park Slope is definitely known for its strollers. But, I mean, the area of Park Slope we moved into was really crappy when we first moved there. And across the street from us used to be a Salvation Army where homeless people slept on the sidewalk. And I felt like we classed up the neighborhood.
You classed it up a little too much.
Well, now there's $800,000... condos directly across the street, and they call 311 on us constantly.
Well, the metal bar is definitely a dying breed, especially in New York. I mean, since
I don't know.
I don't know about that. We've been rocking for 9 years.
You guys,
going strong.
Did you happen to see Duff's the other night?
Duff's was good. Yeah. Like you said, looked like your bedroom when you were 13, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few places, but there's people that want those places.
People still want a metal dump.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, I've unfortunately not been to Melody's place, and I've only heard amazing things, but
we're going to remedy
the other bar. I mean, both Duff's and St. Vitus are really not dumpy. They're really nice places.
Yeah, they're all
great
metal
bars. But I mean, like, they're not, they don't have, I've been living in Williamsburg for too long. They don't have guys with, like, arm garters and fancy mustaches.
I get some fancy mustaches. And lucky.
Not behind the bar.
No, not behind. I'm mostly like women that are not wearing a lot of clothes.
Yeah, they're the like underwear girls behind the bar. Yeah, they're all really cute.
I try. I bartended in a bra last night. So
I want to go back to that. We were talking about your book, Metal Movies.
Yeah.
Is that out yet?
No, June
2013. 2013. So what are the best metal movies? And what's the best metal porn movies? What I want to know.
Okay, there's there's an amazing, terrible, but awesomely terrible black metal porn movie called Falucifer.
Oh, where do I get? Where do I sign up?
Just Google Falucifer.
Oh my goodness, this is Google Lucky Falucifer. 13 viewing.
I just
want
to say that.
Yeah, this is like perfect to play at my bar. We need to get that immediately.
Is it directed by Beelzebub?
No. Although Beelzebub is all over my book, and
he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's a trip.
His movies are retarded.
Yeah, I mean, and they're like one of them is called a series of them called Metal Retardation.
Yeah,
so yeah,
he's
yeah.
retarded.
Wow.
Yeah. Though
the Dark Brothers never tackled the metal genre, right?
No, but Gregory Dark of the Dark Brothers, who were big 80s pornographers, and I actually wrote some movies. I wrote Devil and Miss Jones 5, which was very metal, and is in the book, by the way.
That's amazing. You know, Devil and Miss Jones was actually the first porno I ever saw in my life.
Yeah. And it's very metal porno. It's about, like, it's very existential and set in hell and damnation. So that's also in the book. So, but he told me that Slash anonymously played guitar on some of his soundtracks, and the Devil and Miss Jones guitarist was actually Stan Lee of the Dickies.
Oh, wow.
For Part 5.
That's pretty cool.
Anonymously, under a pseudonym. So,
yeah. Because
why? Because his punk pseudonym wasn't good enough, so he had to get another one for the metal porn movie.
And Eddie Van Halen scored a really lame porn movie, a Michael Ninn movie. I think it's called Skin.
Well, speaking of Metallica and movies, what about the Metallica movie? I thought it was way too long and kind of boring, but what a bunch of whiners.
Well, it's phenomenal. I love that movie. I walked out, the greatest critique I ever heard was my friend said, I have never more wanted to slap two grown men in the face.
Exactly.
But I mean, in a way, I think it's incredibly ballsy that they let it out. I mean, there's a chance they might have been clueless and not known how terrible they
look. I think they're clueless.
But I can't imagine that that's possible. Because this is like warts and all. This is really warts and all behind the scenes. This is as bad as you can look.
But yeah, I mean, no, it's not like Motley Crue pulling a train. It's a bunch of rich guys sitting in a room.
Exactly,
group therapy.
Yeah, in group therapy, bitching about each other. It's like, you guys just have to suck it up and play a few times a year.
Or stop.
Right. Shut up.
Yeah. I can't believe I haven't seen it.
It took them like two years to make a record.
You know? Many years go by.
And I was like amazed when I saw, there's another documentary about Metallica that came out some years ago. It was a making of one of these records. That some guitar solo that amounts to probably 36 bars of music, which is, you know, cum shot for those guys, right? Those long-winded motherfuckers, right? But it was compiled from like 87 different takes. It was Bob Rock there putting it through Pro Tools, you know, from like 87 separate guitar solos to get like 15 seconds of music.
Right, and that's a year and a half in the life of Metallica.
And it just seems to me like so anti-musical and so antithetical to the rock and roll that I love and the punk rock spirit, like to actually create something on a computer and then have the nerve to go out there and, you know, think it has some sort of authenticity to it.
Well, that's they were creating the Black Album, you know, Metallica by Metallica, which was, you know, phase two of Metallica. So, yeah.
That was after, right after they cut their hair, right?
No, that was before they cut their hair, but they were on the path to cutting their hair.
James had already had a mullet at that point.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the few bands that actually started with mullets.
Yeah. Well, then they started wearing mandals, so that's when I knew it was over. Yeah, that's the kiss of death. Kiss of death.
Yes.
Man, so who's the best heavy metal band in the world today?
Behemoth.
Question. Yeah, I like Behemoth. I thought Watain was better the other night when I saw them.
Amazing. I love Watain.
Devil's Blood from the Netherlands is my
Devil's
favorite.
Devil's Blood was great, too.
Yeah.
They're really cool. But they're like...
I don't know about them.
I would say they're the Jefferson Airplane of Doom.
Yeah. No, that's really... That's apt.
That actually sounds appealing. They sound like Coven, but doomy.
Right.
Coven.
Coven.
Were you saying you're going to see Motorhead soon?
Motorhead's playing the night we get to Paris, so we're trying to figure out if we're going to have enough energy to go.
Energy!
You
going
to see Motorhead in Paris?
I'm shaking her for you people listening.
Well, you all hail Lemmy.
You may be able to get some snortable energy at the Motorhead show.
Well, Anthrax is opening, and I'm not like a big Anthrax fan.
But
anyway, so that might be my next metal experience.
I love the Anthrax bit with Chuck D. I thought that was like the heaviest thing I'd ever heard up until that point, you know? Did you go for that?
I hate Anthrax.
You don't like Anthrax? You didn't like the thing they did with Public Enemy?
Douche
I thought
chills.
That was I thought that was fucking heavy as shit. I really liked that.
No.
Here's the thing. I love Scott Ian. Love him. I think he's like one of the best personalities
in rock.
Very
nice guy, very personal.
Love Stormtroopers of Death.
Yeah.
And I respect
I agree.
Bajingo out of Anthrax, but I you know,
are
I'm
you
not
sitting
the
home and listening to it?
No.
Absolutely not.
I think the best Anthrax record is that first one with Neil Turbin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Metal.
I agree.
You know, for a band that you guys don't like, you certainly know a lot about them.
We're knowledgeable metalheads.
I mean, they're around. Brooklyn. And you know, they're cornerstones of the giant metal temple.
Speaking of which, let's talk about Dave Mustaine.
Okay.
Okay. So he was in Metallica. He got kicked out of Metallica for being an alcoholic.
Right? Which is really hard to do.
Which is really hard to do, right?
Yes. Too douchey for that group.
Megadeth turned out to be pretty awesome for a while there.
Yeah.
Then he found God, right? Became a Christian. 2003. Won't do anything that alludes to anything satanic anymore. Some of the best songs that they ever had, like The Conjuring, don't exist anymore. And now apparently he thinks the President of the United States is staging shootings. He said this on stage recently.
But isn't this more interesting and entertaining than like twisted, you know, Dee Snider being pissed at Romney for using
I think he's lost his mind.
Which is awesome! I mean, this is the whole thing. I don't want to hear another, like, you know, millionaire rock star saying, you know, I vote for the working class. It's like, no, conspiracy theories,
conspiracy
bizarre religious conversions.
Yeah.
This is metal. This is the stuff of madness.
I'd rather hear him talk shit about politics than, even if it's out of his mind, than sing that Hello Me song again. I can't. I mean, that guy's voice just destroys. I mean, I cannot listen to that guy's voice. It just destroys. As soon as I hear, like, sometimes I hear Megadeth, I'm like, oh, this is cool. There's some cool guitar playing. And then it's like, Hello Me. It's like, oh my.
It's Ethel Merman and Metalhead.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Man.
On that note, Dave Mustaine, we're wrapping up yet another week of the fastest.
That's it.
30 minutes on the radio.
That's it. Not a misnomer.
So don't forget Mike McPadden's book, If You Like Metallica, on sale wherever books are sold, and Drugfront Records. And please visit the Lucky 13 Bar. Gene, we got another Drugfront record to go out on?
Yes, we do. I think we have a song from the Naked Heroes. The song is called Take a Knee.
All right.
Be coming up next.
Live from Roberta's, it's Mike and Judy. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.